Bottoms cover season. We're back. Easy Ollie.
It's your boy D-Dub.
Got my man D-Dub here with me. You already know. Let's break down these games from week 15, man. Let's start off with the Bears and the Packers. Now, I originally, you know, I was on the premise of it being spoiler winning weekend. They came close. They came very close, but it did not happen. They lost to the Packers, 21-13. It was a pretty close game. A lot of mistakes on both sides of the football for both offenses. I think Green Bay, as I pointed out earlier, they have no urgency. Their body language is just like, hey, we got 11 wins now on the season. We're just chilling. You know, we're waiting for the playoffs. And the problem with just chilling is it's kind of hard to, you know, turn it back on. Like, you know, the drive and the hunger to win. It's kind of hard, you know, once you start chilling to turn it back on. And I think that's where they're at right now, Green Bay as a whole. On the other side of the football, Chicago had quietly put together 3 wins in a row. They were on pace to maybe be in any type of contention to still get in the playoffs, but it's over. The season is done. It's time for them to, you know, focus on the offseason. But all in all, it wasn't a bad game on their part. You know, I think Trubisky played well. The receivers started stepping up for him. It was a little late, too late, but, you know, they started stepping up. The run game is still where I think they need to, you know, do better in the future. But it wasn't a bad game from them offensively. And I think their defense played well. They, you know, even though they gave up 3 scores, they played okay against the Packers.
You know what? I have to agree with you 100%. I mean, I already told you Aaron Rodgers was not going to let this dub slip from his hands. They're right around the corner from, you know, winning the playoff spot. And they're not going to let the Bears come and ruin any kind of momentum that they got going on. But they came close, though. The Bears were really, really, really close. If you look at some of the footage, Aaron Rodgers played terribly. He didn't play good at all. He did not play that well. Looking back at you know his stats, you know, 16 for 33, 203 yards and 1 TD. His total QBR was a 40. That's average. That's super duper average for Aaron Rodgers. And when I mean average, I'm talking about, like, you know, quarterbacks that are in the, not even in the top 10. I'm talking about top 20, top 25 average. Like, his play was not that great. And if you notice in the last couple of games, it's been like that. He hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the last, I guess, 3 or 4 years. The receivers are there. You know, they're wide open. The running game is there. Aaron Jones is damn near the top 3 running backs in the league, but yet they still can't put it together. You know, they have more punts than some of the top 20 teams in the league. Like, you can't say that you're putting together a great offense and then, you know, you're punting more than some of the worst offenses in the league. Everybody thought it was Mike McCarthy.
I think that's definitely been a huge issue for them.
Yeah,
and that was sort of kind of why they couldn't close the game.
They couldn't convert on third down. Yeah, you know, and everybody thought it was Mike McCarthy at first, but now that he's gone, who do you blame now? Especially when you have, you know, I understand some in the beginning of the season, you know, you didn't have all your pieces. Devontae Adams wasn't there, but now that you have everybody. Geronimo Allison, you have Devontae Adams, you have, you know, Jeremy is still there. Like, you have all your pieces, so why can't you get it done? And it's coming down, I don't want to say it's 100%, but it's coming down to Aaron Rodgers. His level of play is
chill out. Don't start the blasphemy. It's too early for the blasphemy.
No, it's not blasphemous. But we gotta look at it though. If you look at all the pieces that he has around him, right? He has one of the best offensive lines in the game. I'm talking about top 3 offensive lines in the league right now.
His line isn't there though.
His line is there. If you look at how much time he's had in the pocket, compared to other quarterbacks, injured, though. No, you're right. In the last couple of games, or the last several games, they've had a couple, you know, pieces missing. But Aaron Rodgers still has the time. He still has more time than most other quarterbacks have in the league, and he still can't get it done. When you're talking about throwing balls inside tight windows, Aaron Rodgers is not getting it done like we thought he was going to be able to do. You know, those plays that he usually makes, you know, fitting in, you know, a skinny post in double coverage, he's not making those throws. Of course, he's making the wide open, you know, 18-yard differential between, you know, the receiver and the safety. You better make that throw. But the throws that made him Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't been making them as of late.
And I'm gonna tell you what the problem is.
Go ahead.
The problem to me is, I think they're trying to be too balanced.
True.
Before it was just like similar to how, you know, the Patriots do things a little bit, and you know, not too close. But when Mike McCarthy was there, they kind of game planned against their opponent.
They did.
So one game they could be very run heavy. The next game that, you know, it could be very Aaron Rodgers type of game. This year, they're taken away from that. You know, with LaFleur calling the plays, they're trying to just be a little bit more balanced. If you give me 5 passing plays, then I want another 5 running plays. And I think that's sort of kind of been where their issue is, especially on third downs. It's like, are you going to, you know, Aaron Jones just had a 15-yard, a 10-yard carry or a 7-yard carry,
and or whatever throw it may the ball. Be,
and you know, you're going to go throw the ball next play. Or Aaron Rodgers has had a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 completions in a row, and you're going to try to, you know,
run the ball,
him to hand it off. So to me, it's just they're too inconsistent in their play calling. I think
you're right, not keeping up with the flow.
Balanced. Yeah, and that is what's hurting them on third down. I think to me, at the end of the day, it's down to the play calling, man. You just got to be balanced. And if you look at it, when they've had success in the past, and I know, you know, Aaron Rodgers has sort of kind of had, you know, different offensive coordinators, they excelled when Mike McCarthy called the plays.
They did.
That's when their offense excelled
Their offense was more explosive when Mike McCarthy was around. Their third down completion percentage was way higher.
Exactly. So to my point, and I'm not knocking LaFleur. I don't think he's a bad coach.
No, not at all.
Three. So, you know, and they put together a pretty good team. My issue with them is they just need to be a little bit more consistent as far as calling the plays. And you know, coming up this week, you know, it's going to be another test. I mean, the season's coming to an end. You know, it's not really any time to be joking around. And to be honest, they still got a chance for the number one seed. You know, a whole bunch of teams are 11-3 in the NFC right now, and they got a huge game. Huge game this week, man, on Monday night. They're playing Minnesota, and this is going to be, you know,
it's going to be a real test.
Damn near for the season.
It's going to be a real test
right now. You know, if they lose this game, you know, it could be it for them. They could find themselves in the wild card or something. So, you know, they got a couple of things that they need to fix coming up. Like I said, I think they just need to be a little bit more consistent in terms of how they call the plays. But we'll see what happens with them.
I can't wait to see against a healthy Vikings offense with everybody in play.
Is going to be the biggest challenge for them. And their secondary has been okay, but I think that this game is, you know, is going to be a litmus test to see where they are at this point in the season. Of course, going into the next game, I'm disappointed. I'm surely disappointed. I backed these guys up. I've been screaming Ryan Tannehill for weeks now. It wasn't his fault. I know they had opportunities to score and they didn't capitalize, especially in the red zone. I think it was at the end of the first half where they ran the ball 3 times, 4 times in a row Not once did they pass the football, which I thought was absurd. I said the three things you need to win a championship: you need great defense, you need to be able to run the football, and of course you need great special teams. And
those didn't show up until second half. Those didn't show up until second half.
Forget that. Special teams cost them the fucking game.
Yeah.
With the division lead on the line, all you had to do was just let it bounce into the end zone. And you did not. I think that, you know, that totally. I know people are like, well, you know, they only had about 10 or 13 seconds. They only had 10 seconds after he ran out. So they would have had at least 12 to 13 seconds. 12 to 13 on the clock.
You could have got at least 20. Maybe 3 plays if you got 3 good plays.
Exactly. You would have been at the 20. AJ Brown was pretty much uncoverable the whole game. He was cooking. A big body. He's a big body guy who can jump up there. You had, you know, maybe two or three opportunities, like you said, to see if you could at least get the ball to him downfield and get him out of bounds since you had no more timeouts. And you could have went for the field goal. It cost him the game. It definitely did. There's still hope. There's still hope for the Titans. On the other end of the, on the other side of the football, Houston, what a big win.
It was a must win for them. They needed this. They needed it to push them, you know, and keep them in the number one spot in the division. Because if they lost this game, their season would have been over. Oh yeah, their season would have been over.
I think their season would have been over had they lost. Mm-hmm. And to me, the thing with Houston is, I said this a few episodes ago, man. When sometimes they come up against teams and you're like, damn, they're good. Mm-hmm. They could be in the Super Bowl.
And sometimes they come out flat.
Go against teams, and you're like, they're not even a playoff team. And to me, I think that for the first half, they played like a contender. They moved the ball up the field. They used both of their running backs. Like, you know, you love that dual running back system. They used mm-hmm. Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, they
used
did.
Duke Johnson. They were spreading the ball around. Deshaun Watson was getting out of the pocket and making plays with his legs. They played like a great team, and then they started to crumble. Now, hats off to the Tennessee defense. I think they stepped up their game in the second half, like you said. Those guys, Jayon Brown, you know, Jarrell Casey, all them guys up front, man, they play hard, you know, and you know, they have a desire to win, and they follow the leader, their coach, Mike Vrabel. And to me, I think they really understood the message in the second half, in the locker room at halftime, which was probably get off y'all asses and play some football. And that's what they did in the second half. It just, they came up short. You know, they gave up that big third down conversion, you know, towards the end of the fourth down, which led down to the field goal. It just didn't work out for them. But, you know, I still think there's hope for them. They got a hope.
Yeah,
Steelers lose. They got to hope Buffalo might, fall to New England. So, you know, it's never good when you're relying on another team. And as well as Ryan Tannehill has played lately, it might be a little bit too late for them. But we'll see what happens. But I did like what I saw from Houston in the first half. You know, they just got to be consistent. I've told you this before. I think the defense plays better without J.J. Watt. And they've kind of been showing that. And I would just like to see some consistency from them, because outside of Buffalo and maybe Kansas City playing spoiler for people in the AFC, mm-hmm. they have all the tools to play spoiler. They have all the necessary ingredients spoiler,
especially
or contender.
Especially offensively. When Deshaun Watson is not, you know, just singling DeAndre Hopkins, and you have your other pieces and a healthy, you know, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills coming in and doing what he does and providing that number two receiver and making plays. These are key assets that they need to keep it going, to keep that flow going. When Deshaun Watson can make those connections and it's not just him and DeAndre Hopkins solo dolo running down the field, they have more opportunities. With Duke Johnson, opening up the running lanes, and also, you know, Hyde coming in and switching up in the dual running back threat, that is when they have opportunities. But they the key thing that's also killed them this year was turnovers. You know, turnovers. And with that, we're going to go on to our next game, which was pretty exciting. We're talking about the Redskins and the Eagles. Now, this game was crazy. It was crazy. I can't even believe that the Eagles allowed this opportunity for the Redskins to come to just almost topple what they were working for.
Spoiler winning weekend.
I mean, granted.
I was this close.
You're absolutely right.
Spoiler winning weekend,
And with Dallas playing the way that they played, I mean, granted that they won, they were this close to losing it all. I mean, really this close. The Redskins were right there knocking at the door. Their defense was playing incredible. This was a tight game. Now, I can't even lie. I can't even lie. Carson Wentz did his thing, but it took a while. In the first quarter was all Redskins. The Redskins had that hands down. They were locking it up, and it wasn't until the second quarter when the Eagles started putting things together and making some things happen. Now, when you're looking at this game and you're just like, okay, they're just going back and forth. But this game was more than that, especially for the Redskins. Even though they're not contending for a playoff spot, it showed a lot. Dwayne Haskins showed up. He showed out. He showed a little, us a little bit of his legs and what he could do, running. Just a little bit, just a taste. And you could see his progress, his development. And you could also see AP. He still got the juice. AP still got the juice.
Oh, without a doubt.
He's not done. He's not done. He's definitely a solid number two, solid number, a lower tier number one guy, but he's still got the juice. Don't count that man out, especially with the physique that he got. Do not count that man out.
To me, the issue with the Redskins not winning this game, I'm disappointed. And like I said, I was big on spoiler winning weekend. This was a huge game, and to me, one mistake cost them everything. And of course, it's not their fault. They didn't know Josh Norman was gonna suck this bad. They did not know that he was just that bad. I mean, they had a chance right there to get a stop and completely change the outcome of this game. I mean, and if you look at the score, you'll think that they was getting whooped all game long. That wasn't the case.
Nah, that wasn't the case. To be honest, it wasn't that far apart.
No, it wasn't.
It was 37-27, and really the Eagles scored on the last play of the game. An
interception. But to me, I'm just gonna focus on the Redskins real quick. When you have a young quarterback, you have to give him a weapon. You have to give him a weapon when you have a young quarterback.
He has a weapon. I think they've done that. I'm glad we got to see it.
I think that
the combo's back, and the fact that they got to play together, him and Terry McLaurin
in college.
Great combo.
They've played well together, and I think that, when you're grooming a quarterback and you want him to grow and to be, successful, you want to get him a weapon that he can grow with. And I think that they did just that in getting McLaurin from Ohio State with him. Mm-hmm. Especially, he's been tearing defenses up all year. Outside of the, injuries, he's been a lightning rod for their offense. On the other end, I think that they have some of the pieces together for defense. I like what they have going on up front. In the secondary is where I think they need help. I think their safeties are okay. I would just like to see more from their cornerbacks, to me. In my opinion.
Yeah.
But going to the Eagles.
Lenny Collins did all right.
Yeah, he did all right. He's a former Pro Bowler, all-pro player. Even though he's not, the best in coverage, he played okay in coverage this season. Not the best that he's played, but he did play okay in coverage this season. But on the other side of the football.
Your boy Sweat was a little quiet on the defense, though. I ain't going to lie. He's been trash all year.
I didn't even mention him. On the other side, though, for the Eagles, I think that they just don't know who they are on offense, man. Carson Wentz can win you a football game. He can. Even when, as you can see, their receivers are not that great, he can still win you a football game. But outside of that, I don't trust the Eagles. If you look at a team like the Rams, who we'll talk about later, or let's say the Titans, who are on the outside looking in, in the AFC, those teams, they can play spoiler for somebody in the playoffs. The Eagles, if they make the playoffs, they're just a waste of space to me, in my opinion. I don't think they can beat anybody in the NFC. Even if they luck up and have to, and get to play Green Bay in the first round in the wild card, I don't trust them. I don't think they're a complete football team at all. Now, they did do some good things this game. They were able to get downfield. Goddard and Zach Ertz, that combination is that's a pretty solid combination. They should flow a little bit better through their tight ends. They don't use them as much outside of Ertz.
I think they should use them more. Let me give you this. The Eagles, the only thing they did good this weekend was win. I mean, if you look at this game, they had four fumbles. One of them was lost. Thank God they recovered the other three. But four fumbles. What is going on offensively? You don't have a number one guy where you're going to be like, okay, we're going to get him the ball. We're going to feed him and he's going to score. Who's your running back? Who is your number one guy? Sanders? Okay, he did a great job this weekend. But what about next weekend? And the weekend after that? And next season? And the season after that? Who is your guy? You can't count, like you said, you can't count on the Eagles. They aren't consistent enough to the point where you can say, okay, I see that they've developed a pattern where they can continue to win games like this. They can continue to win games because they know their identity and they know what they're doing. The only positive that the Eagles really have is their two tight end situation between Goddard and Ertz. They're two solidified targets that can make way in the middle of the field. Ertz, hands down. Goddard, hands down. They're one of the two top receivers on the team. Now, where are your other receivers? Can anybody answer that question? Absolutely not. The Eagles can't even answer that question. Their receivers are hurt or nowhere to be found. So they need to answer that question.
I'm tired of talking.
Really,
about
really, really.
I'm really, ready for really the soon. Next game, because like I said, man, I just don't trust them. I think it would be shameful if they made the playoffs over the Dallas Cowboys only because the Cowboys
they
started
no
the
potential.
Season so
they don't
well.
Have any potential.
But you know, I just don't like the Eagles. I'm ready to move on from them. I don't think.
I mean, you're a Giants fan. You're not gonna like them. Anyway.
I still think they make the playoffs. Unfortunately, over the Cowboys, I do. And
you think so?
Yeah, unfortunately, and you know that's with our next game
you,
too.
You know what? You might be right because Dallas is the type to choke it up in the last minute. Yeah, they put up 44 this week. I don't know.
And that is our next game. The Rams, mm-hmm. the Rams and Cowboys and. And yeah, I mean, I had picked the Cowboys to lose out. I picked them to lose out this season.
Same here. I picked them to lose
after the last couple of weeks because I just didn't know who they were. And on Sunday we sort of kind of got a glimpse. As much as everyone has wanted it to be Ezekiel Elliott's team, it's Dak Prescott's team. The offense flows. And to me, I think having Ezekiel Elliott is a great centerpiece for him. Just like I said, you know, with Dwayne Haskins, every time you get a young quarterback, you want to give him a weapon that he can grow with. And Dak has that weapon. He has Ezekiel Elliott. And I think that with the way that they've called plays, teams still expect them to be a run-first team, but they're not. Not anymore. Not with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Randall Cobb, you know, Blake Jarwin, Jason Witten, like, nah, they can throw the football. They have the offensive line to throw the football. And to me, I just don't think the play calling is there. That's why they falter, you know, every other week. That's why they're so inconsistent, because I think the play calling is not there. And to me, I think that's what's going to cause them to lose, you know, the last two games of the season. They got the Eagles that I think they're going to lose to Sunday. And then I think they close against the Redskins or something like that. But, you know, I'm just not so sure. Now, they did play great against the Rams. They opened the playbook up. They got Dak moving. You know, even with the pressure that Los Angeles was trying to bring, they got Dak, you know, to roll out, bootlegs, play action. You know, he was handing the ball off every now and then, and Ezekiel Elliott was making plays. They played a great game offensively and defensively. Defensively, I think their secondary really stepped up. You know, compared to what they've been doing the last few weeks, this is one of the better offenses that was coming to play them. You know, the better group of wide receivers that they were playing against. And they showed up, man. They played a good game. They played tight. You know, they didn't let any coverage leak out or anything like that. They played solid in the back end. And, of course, you know, they do bring pressure up front. They're one of the better teams at sacking the quarterback. So, I mean, they put a great game plan together for the Rams. I just wish that I could see more of that consistently from the Cowboys. Now, on the other side of the field, the Rams, wow.
What other side of the field? You acknowledged it? You acknowledged the other side of the field?
Wow is all I can say.
That was garbage.
Wow is all garbage. I can say. I talked about the Raiders. What was it? Two episodes ago when I said no one squanders opportunities like the Raiders this season.
I think that was last episode.
Yep. Squandered a huge opportunity in Dallas. They had a chance not only to get closer to Minnesota in that wild card spot, but to actually...
They lost a spoiler weekend.
I
mean,
I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Robert Woods played, he played okay. Cooper Kupp was pretty much manhandled. Brandon Cooks didn't really do anything. It just wasn't a good showing from the Rams. I'm very disappointed in how that happened.
Let me put it like this. The Rams... For this week for the Rams, this was their spring break. They were supposed to come out and party hard, but they came out and they slept in. They didn't even come out. They didn't leave the hotel room. They didn't do nothing. They literally came out in this game in the first half. Okay, you had Todd Gurley that was showing a little something, and he scored. After that, it was over. I ain't seen nothing else until the fourth quarter. And when the fourth quarter came, it was already too late. They was already up 44 points and 40-something points. And that's when you guys want to come out and score? It's late. It's done. Y'all done. Y'all going home. Y'all going to go back home to L.A., and y'all going to go sit inside this brand-new stadium in your brand-new facilities wondering what the hell went wrong. I know what went wrong. Y'all never left. Y'all never got on the bus or the plane or whatever it was. Y'all took the travel to Dallas, and y'all never came to play. Jared Goff, I mean, granted, he has targets. He can make it work. It's just I think that we had talked about this before, that I think that they have started to figure out the McVay coaching scheme and how the Rams are coordinating offensively.
It's all about pressure. And the Rams you're absolutely right. The Rams do not have a good offensive line. Man.
You know, Todd Gurley had 20 yards. 20 yards. We were just talking about the last game, how they picked up. They were using their weapons. They were using Gurley more. Even though his yard production wasn't a buck plus, at least they were giving him the carries. Why let off the pedal now? Y'all were on a good route. Brandon Cooks was cooking. You know, Cooper Kupp was doing what he usually does. And you had Tyler Higbee, who was also producing. Like, where did that fire, that energy go? I know you left it. You left it in L.A. It wasn't time for y'all. Higbee, of course, was the top, their top guy, which is mind melting, because you got Brandon Cooks, and you got Cooper Kupp, and you can't feed none of them. Whether your offensive line can't hold up or not, you know if this line is collapsing and such, you got to make a move. Run more play actions. Run more bootlegs. Run more routes towards the open field of the sideline so you can make more plays. Make it happen. But they didn't make any of those adjustments. We weren't seeing it. And to be honest, like I said, it's over for them. I don't even know why I'm talking for them this much. On Dallas's end, I'm happy for them. I feel like this was the scrimmage that they needed, so they could get ready for the next two games. They needed this. They needed Zeke to go off. They needed Zeke to do what he does, and also they got a great taste of their number two back with Pollard. Pollard came out and showed up just as well. This was a great game for him. This was a good game to show, hey, if Zeke can't get it going, I'm going to step up and get it going. But let's not get it twisted. This was against a Rams team. This was a scrimmage for them. But I'm glad that they used it. Everybody got the ball. Everybody got touches. Dak did great, 212, 15 for 23, you know, for 83.9 QBR. He did well. I just want to see the consistency across the board. Jason Garrett, do not let off the pedal. Continue to help the team improve on some of the mistakes that they did make, because there were some mistakes this game, you know. But want to see everyone improve this week. And that's all I got for Dallas. All right, and with that, we're going on to our next game. We got the Buffalo Bills and the Steelers. Now, this game, this was a great game. It was super close. This was a all defensive game. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you were talking about last week how the Pittsburgh Steelers have been so phenomenal over the last th this season that they haven't done anything like this since the Iron Curtain. Now, we're the Buffalo Bills, they're not the offensive powerhouse that everybody thinks that they are, that they're gonna put up 50 points and they're gonna, sling it down the field. Their defense is where it's at. But let's not sleep on them offensively. Offensively, they know how to move the ball. They could run
Fumbles,
the ball down the field.
fumbles,
Yeah,
fumbles,
hold
fumbles.
on, hold on. We know about fumbles because on both sides, both this game was it was sloppy. I ain't gonna lie. It was very, very sloppy. It was a very defensive game. You're talking about Deb Hodges who threw four interceptions. You got fumbles by Singletary. He got two in the game. Like, it was very, very, very sloppy. Didn't like the look of it offensively, but defensively, it looked incredible. You're talking about White on the Buffalo Bills, who had two interceptions, two crucial interceptions. One of them almost went for a pick six. And Devlin Hodges just couldn't get it together. Could not get it together. Underthrowing the ball. I looked at all the interceptions that he threw. Not one of them was overthrown. All of them underthrown. No power in those balls. All of them were just underthrown balls. Hand chucks up in the air.
Well, you know the thing with Duck is, I like calling him Duck. I do.
Call him Duck. He throw like a
ever
duck.
since I found out that was his nickname, I like calling him Duck. But look, the thing that Duck does best is underneath, and watching the game, you know how they're fancy and they show the chart of how many passes he has completed underneath. It's a lot. Over 60% of his passes are underneath, checkdowns. You know the little slants, you know, drag routes, little curls and comebacks. That's it. That's pretty much how he makes his living. And to me, the Buffalo Bills knew that. They knew that
Of
and they
course, and the
wanted
secondary
to
wasn't gonna have it.
and
Secondary wasn't gonna have
they
it.
have Tre'Davious White. He's the second best corner in the league, to be quite honest with you. And to me, what he did that was effective was they pressed him. When you're doing the
Yeah, they
underneath
press a
things
lot.
and you're pressing and
They
like
press.
it's hard for the receivers to break free and get loose and things like that. So I think that the Buffalo Bills definitely use that to their advantage. As far as the Steelers go, I do. I really like the Steelers. I like what they've done throughout the season with the defense, special teams, and you know, not having any real superstars on offense. And to be able to
Oh
put
yeah, you're
games
right.
together and
You're
win.
absolutely right.
You know, they've been dealing with injuries all over the place, and they've put together a nice string of games, but it just wasn't enough. And to me, like you said, it was just the interceptions. Too many turnovers. Turnovers can't win you games, and to me, that's the problem. You know, he doesn't take any you know shots deep often. He you know stays inside the numbers a lot. He doesn't do anything much to the sideline. I mean, he had a few to James Washington on the sideline, but it wasn't that many. And they didn't do anything, which was the biggest issue. You know, you can throw underneath all you want. If you're not moving the football and getting first downs, then it's pointless. And to me, that was the issue. On the other hand, with the Bills, I like their running game. They just got to hold on to the football. It was an irregular
Oh yeah,
thing
that's what it was.
for Singletary.
That Singletary, he's got a fumble problem.
No, I mean, I would say it's not a regular thing. He's only had one fumble
Well, I mean,
all season
this
until
game
this
he had a
game.
fumble problem.
You know,
Yeah.
they've taken care of the football for most part of the year. And to me, they just need to get better at doing that, especially coming in the playoffs. In the playoffs, it's different. You don't get these opportunities, you know, you don't get a second
Nope.
chance in the playoffs.
You give that up, that's it.
And
It
that
could be
can
over right
cost
then
you.
and there.
Yeah, so to me, I think he just needs to do better at that in terms of, you know, taking care of the football as far as the weapons go. You had pointed this out last show. They're learning how to use Cole Beasley so well now, and
Yep,
he's
Cole
helped
Beasley's
them
getting in there.
get first downs. And if you can see the I think it was the second touchdown, or it might have been even the last touchdown that Josh Allen threw, they were moving the football effectively. They were getting third downs and converting every third down that they had that drive. And to me, I think that's the biggest thing, especially going in next week against the Patriots. They're not going to let you capitalize and take advantage of third and short. So you have to be prepared and have the weapons to do that. And they do. They have John Brown. They have Cole Beasley, two guys who can move the chains, two very agile and fast guys. I just hope to see them move that more. Now, I've said this over and over again, man. I think the Bills are going to play spoiler all playoff long, man. I think they're a legit team.
I feel it.
They have and all three
phases. They still got the Patriots before the end of the season.
Yeah, they got them next week. So, and I can't wait to see that game on Saturday. I think that's going to be amazing.
That's going to be an important game. But before we close this out, I just wanted to note that the Pittsburgh Steelers, they still had a chance to win this. Even though they had no timeouts with 18 seconds left, there was no indication of time management, clock management, nothing. Dev Hodges was completely abysmal to the two-minute warning. Like, he didn't even try to, you know, make some quick plays to get out of bounds or anything like that. The team was in no hurry to get back to set themselves up for another play. And they wasted 18 seconds on the clock on one play. One play, and you take it on a. I mean, granted, you have to go for a touchdown, but you really wasted that opportunity. There were so many different things that you could have done to help yourself, put yourself in a better situation. And to be honest, without James Conner in this game, this is not even close. I think the Buffalo, you know, might even make, you know, 17-3 with a field goal, if that. James Conner would really, really save them in this game, you know, showing that, you know, he's healed and he can run the football like he used to. But, hey, we're going to have to see if Pittsburgh can still be in that last slot. It really is going to depend on the last couple of games this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, they got a chance to capitalize. They got the Jets coming up this week, so, you know, we'll see how they go, but... you know, as we come to a close for this episode, of course, we always appreciate you guys. Don't forget to get your picks in for next week's game when that episode comes out. It's your guy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D-Dub. And thank you again. Tune in next week.